Hi, my name is Crystal and I'm Jake's wife. I have to be honest, I hate the amount of time Jake spends inside your auditory canal. And I have strongly considered learning to fly a rocket ship so that I could jettison his recording equipment into space. That said, if you disagree with me, please consider supporting the ImaginaryFriendShow.com podcast by going to patreon.com/iPhones and becoming a patron. That is patreon.com/iPhones.
Every time I got a chance, my Bible tapes on in the car.
Well, sorry is not the kind of word that John Howard used.
When you read the Bible in Luke, you would know that Luke did not go to New Jersey. Huh? Let me get out of here right now.
Sorry, I keep saying I have not used the word conspiracy.
With respect to the issue of whether gays and lesbians should be able to get married,
you must understand the Federal Reserve is a cartel made up of the major banks.
It's a very interesting thing, losing one's religion. I think it's a revolution for one.
Actually, I don't even have a car right now. My car got stolen 4 weeks ago.
Hello, ladies and listeners, and welcome to this, the 278th Imaginary Friendship Joke Showcase, the one-two showcase on science, skepticism, religion, politics, and current affairs. I'm Jay Carwooden. With us this week is a collective noun of comedians, Emily McCool, Matt Lynn, Jasmine Fairbairn, and Nick Mulder.
Apologies in advance for the editing.
All right, guys, let's go on to the first story. Nick?
Nine reasons people leave the church. So, ChristianPost.com. I was a minister, a preacher. This was many years before I became a pot-smoking, atheist stand-up comedian podcaster.
I just ask a question?
Yeah.
When you were a minister,
yeah.
Did you go, that's his name?
No, never once. that's the new Nick. That's the new, like, I back then was an asshole.
Can I just say, it would have been really funny if you now saying Nick Morganmore, that's my name, evolved from Jesus Christ.
That's his name. Yeah, I'm going to do that when I play a preacher character. That's hilarious.
You should do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so anyway, I was a missionary and a preacher and all of that business, and I left the church because it sucked and God's not real. From all of the evidence that I've been able to see.
Which one was more important to you? The fact that God wasn't real?
Or the fact that it's full of emotionally manipulative assholes who are trying to impose
their
values
reason,
on
Nick,
other people?
You just said there were two reasons. Yeah. One was that the church sucked, and the second one was that God wasn't real.
It's kind of like, I read the Bible, man, and that's like,
what the hell is the Bible, man?
Anybody who talks about the Bible...
Bible
is like
actually a superhero.
Yeah,
have you seen that?
Yeah.
No, but I wish I had.
Once you have, you won't want to anymore, because it's so lame. Have you noticed how lame Christian, like, fiction is?
I've noticed how lame Christian rock music is.
Yeah, it's that level of lame. So, yeah, he's like, with the power of the Bible,
Well,
temptation. Something so hard on Nick, he's allowed to be inconsistent. He was a minister.
Yeah.
That was a great punchline. Right. Hey, can I ask a question, though? Guys, if you had a biblical superpower, what would you want it to be? Go, Matt.
Water to wine.
Water to wine.
Water to
wine's
not bad.
That's not bad.
Virgin birth?
So you don't like the sex, you just like the giving birth? Because that sounds
terrible.
The strength in relation to body hair. Because, like, I'm bald on top, but my beard's yet long, so I'd have a wicked uppercut. Or leg. I'd have, like, leg power, like a Samson, because my beard is...
You know, I think I would like the ability to call she-bears to maul
them. Yeah, that's a good one.
I reckon
if they dare call me baldy head, I will totally stick a she-bear on them.
You're not going to
Is it specifically
bald.
Children
I'm
you want to stick
now.
A she-bear on?
You've still got beautiful, glorious hair. I'm not even 30, and I'm bald as hell. I'm bald on top, and I've got a long, glorious, luscious beard. It's so wonderful. Like, yeah. So anyway.
But I want to hear the rest of the biblical powers.
It would be good to have the God power of sitting back and not having to do anything. That would be quite interesting.
Can I?
Mm-hmm. I would love to have... rising up for 3 days and then calling resurrection holidays.
That's what she
said.
Hey, can I
tell you? I'd like to spend 3 days in a cave. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, there's this really funny story from the apocryphal gospels of Jesus, right?
The one with the dragons? I like
all I'm not going to tell that one. But there's this one, right, where Jesus walks in on his dad, Joseph, by the way, not God, his dad, Joseph, who just cut a piece of wood, and the piece of wood that he cut was a little bit too short. So Joseph says, "Hey, Jesus, can you do something about this?" And Jesus clicks his finger and the magical sounds, and then all of a sudden, the wood has grown back.
He made wood grow back.
Hey, got wood?
Yeah.
He would destroy it, though. Let me tell you that right now.
Hey, but wasn't that the greatest allegory, or metaphor rather, for circumcision ever?
Yeah. I love it.
No,
it's
reverse. It's the wood came back.
I know, right?
Yeah. You
can have still
like, wood. That's what happens when you become Christian.
Exactly.
I like it.
Anyway.
I'm sorry, I lost my
slide. Well, I did the opposite of that, and so this is a post, this is an article, a Christian post, that's from the Christian perspective, written by a, I believe, a minister.
You can say moron.
Yeah, moron minister. And so he's giving the 9 reasons why people are leaving the church. Spoiler alert, he doesn't actually hit on the actual reasons. But anyway, so reasons why, top 10 characteristics of the nun. He is a he. So, misogyny off the bat. women are more easily oppressed.
That's what he... But no, women
women
are more,
tend to be more open to spiritual things, while men are more skeptical, less committal. So women are more easily oppressed, and more likely to be emotionally manipulated and societally positioned to stay in the church. Because, of course, young people make decisions based on logic.
All of the time.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a dude and he's young. I think they're like, he's trying to imply that because he's young, he's like, makes dumb decisions. But anyway, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
Look at number 3. He is white. Misogyny and racism.
Yeah.
Misogyny, ageism, and racism. Like, this list is just written by somebody who's like, I'm wearing all of my prejudices on my sleeve. I would love a jacket. Just had like prejudices on the sleeve. That would be hilarious. That's not like I just said that. That's like just me ripping. That's the sort of stuff you can expect from my comedy because I'm a comedian. Number 3 says, although a growing number of non-white persons are showing interest in religious traditions other than Christianity, so he's also being afraid that people are turning into Muslims. Another staple you'll find amongst Christians nowadays. Number 4, he's not necessarily an atheist. God at best is a universal spirit, a deist, theological position. So he's going to attack the nuns by saying that, you know, just not going to church means that you're a piece of crap. You know, you don't have to, like, say things like you inform your worldview on things like logic in order to be a piece of crap. You just have to not come to church and give me my tithe money, you piece of crap.
Yep.
Is basically that position, that point, right?
Yep.
5, he is not very religious. A joy! Choosing not to identify with an organized religious body, while at the same time he considers himself spiritual, whatever that means. 6, he's most likely a Democrat, because if we're going to do anything and insert our religion into anything right now, we've inserted it into...
Can I just tell you, though?
We've inserted it into race.
That is the most correct one that he said.
That's the thing. Like, the Republicans
are
so fucking...
The rest of the other ones, all of the other ones, are all made up bullshit.
Yeah.
That one,
ridiculously moronic Christians do you find who are like, I'm in favor of, like, nice things, like people being treated like people regardless of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or country of birth.
Ten
in the world is the answer to that. And those people are lovely. They're just a little bit confused on the political front because they keep voting against their self-interest.
One of my good friends who's gay he's been a Catholic since, you know, he was raised. He's never left the church.
So he
goes to one of these, you know, positive affirmation churches where they accept his homosexuality as long as he doesn't practice.
It's like, oh, really?
Yeah. But, you know what he says? I don't practice. I play for kids.
No. Yes.
I want to hear about... So this guy has spent a really long time pontificating about why he isn't doing anything wrong and why the rest of society is the problem and not him and, you know, the other people in the religious institution. But I'm interested, what do you think? What do you think, guys? What is the real reason why people are leaving the church in droves? And by the church, I mean, you know, religion in general. What's with the rise in the nuns? Emily, what do you reckon?
What do I think?
Yeah. You haven't spoken yet.
In the last a while ago.
I think they need to bring in more public holidays. I love religion because we get Sunday off. So,
Yeah. Seven days
of Sunday. Yeah. Really.
We all get Sundays off. That's the thing that society kept up with, without changing at all. Yeah. All of us, every person in the... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to thank the union movement for that, but that's just me.
I think I like more liberal sex laws. I think that would be appropriate, you know, the whole righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Can I just be clear, when you say liberal sex laws, are you saying that people need to...
More liberal. But I would also like it to make it more liberal to anybody out there, not anybody who's a larger liberal.
Lubricated sex laws. I'd just like a lot less guilt. Just in general,
yeah.
I think I hate feeling guilty about my life, so maybe that is winning over.
So what do you reckon to Jasmine?
Look, the bottom line is that nobody wants to, everybody is being able to talk now. There's the internet, there's all this information out there, and it's easy. Before, like even 20, 25 years ago, you didn't know half of what you could just look up on Google right now, you know? Like, these people are out there looking up the claims that the church is making. And it makes it just easier for them to go, like, what the, like, why would this can't be true, because I've learned about this, I've looked into this, I've spoken to people, you know, like, they can chat online, they could meet people overseas. It's just so much easier to have the communication. They just don't have the hold anymore, because the group of, like, that neighborhood mentality where you don't leave your little tiny nook. I mean, except if you're west of the Mississippi or east of the Mississippi.
Yes. Do you think reality would win you over, or maybe truth or some kind of...
What would win me over? Look, there's nothing that's going to win me over to the church. Maybe if someone came and babysat my kids more. I don't know.
You know, you can get that, right? Churches will actually babysit the kids for free.
Oh, well, you know, here's the thing.
But they don't have to have any regulations on what training those people have who are looking after your kids.
Well, no, actually,
they get exemptions. Religious reasons in a lot of places.
Only for who they
But the hilarious thing is, like, I had my babies and I was by myself at home. I'm sitting at home and some two girls knock on the door. And I answer the door and I just thought they had a name. I was like, hello, smiling Canadian smile, hello. And I noticed they had a little name tag that said, in the service of Jesus. And I just, my son was three, and he was really, like, friendly, and I didn't want him to see me, like, shut these people down, right? So I just waved my finger in the air and went, no, none of that. And they said, oh, well, I'm sorry, is there anything else we can do for you?
How do you feel about vacuuming?
Like, yeah, I was going to say, like, well, do you want to clean the kitchen? I don't. And they would have said yes. I found out that they would have said yes. They have to do a certain amount of time in community service, and they just go door to door asking people, is there anything that we can do, while they talk your ear off about Jesus. So,
you know, if someone cleaned my kitchen, I would be willing to put up with some Jesus talk.
Would you?
Yeah. Dude, I have the greatest conversations with my local Mormies.
I'll invite them in. I just, like, just as long as they don't smoke, my whole stash is fine. Like, I'll bring them in as long as they don't smoke.
Dude, let me tell you, the Jehovah's Wobblies, they will never go anywhere near that stuff. They are so petrified of everything outside of them.
Yeah. I've heard about young...
Not coffee.
I've heard about, like, young Mormons and Jehovah's being given beers. Like, I've heard of it. Because they get sent out by their families, and they don't know it. They're 19 and you know, young guys.
Mormons? Yes, absolutely. Jehovah's? No.
Yeah.
Jehovah's are no...
Well, the Mormons are more sheltered than repressed.
Catholics? Oh my God.
The Mormons are super sheltered. Like, they focus on the sheltering more than the repressing. Whereas, like, the J-Hos, they... they get shown the world more than the Mormons, but they get repressed harder, I reckon. Mm.
Well, also, they are told from a very young age to shun knowledge.
Yeah,
you know, I've got a very good friend who was Jehovah's Witness, has a PhD, and had to literally fight with his church in order to allow him to go for the PhD in astrophysics.
Yeah, that's
so it's
nuts.
Nuts. It's crazy, ridiculous. Crazy stuff.
Anti-intellectual.
Yeah, ridiculous. Matt, what do you reckon? What's turning people away from the church?
Well, I actually have to echo pretty much what Jasmine said in that the globalization of everything. I've come up with a big fan.
Come up with your own stuff.
I'm going to build on
it. You do that with the dissemination of information and the more readily able ability
also
to cross ideas around the
world. Well, I'm going to expand on it a little bit. Maybe not. Just go somewhere else with it. Back before we had the internet, this thing called Google searches, where you could type in contradictions in the Bible and see how ridiculous it is, you can, if you're an atheist, you sort of perhaps more so have to make it more of a private issue, because, and I know we like to make fun of religious people and all that sort of stuff, but there are a lot of surprisingly successful, intelligent, well-adjusted people who will not claim to be an atheist still. Now, they'll take the agnostic route and sort of try to play middle road, like, well, I don't know if God exists or doesn't, and that sort of thing. And I think people who are more staunch on one end now, the correct end, sort of now have more of a network where they can...
Yeah.
Bounce off these ideas and that sort of stuff. And also, as Nick alluded to this, but reading the Bible really helps. It really does help. I think it was Penn Jillette who said it's the quickest way to becoming an atheist. It is so ridiculous.
And he was quoting Oscar Wilde, I believe.
Probably.
The Bible in its proper context is the number one tool for converting people to atheism.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was quite... Sheltered. I never read the Bible. I found church boring and all that sort of stuff. But I was raised within a Christian family, and I kind of took a lot of... I bought into the Christian values, good people values, which I can now separate from Christianity and realize, well, actually, that's complete rubbish.
Yeah.
But there's a... I never read the Bible, and you're told it's the Word of God, and yet you look at it, and it's clearly written by, I mean, even the homophobia is terrible in it. It's not that widespread. The misogyny in it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And Timothy 2:12.
Yeah, something. A woman should pray in silence and not be heard.
A good point to make is the more people in the past were religious, but they didn't read the Bible. That's the thing. Like, there were people who were just, you know, religious, but they didn't have access to the Bible. Gutenberg obviously changed that. But then society took a little while to catch up. And now we have people who can read the Bible, and most Christians don't, because if you want to keep your beliefs intact, you have to be as sheltered as possible. And I believe that one of the main reasons people are leaving the church, a lot of people are sort of general, you know, raised culturally Christians but don't really go to church. There's not churches for them to go to where it's comfortable for them to be, because the church is driving them out. Why? Because they've lost so much power and so much status that they're trying to make up for that loss.
Well, they haven't evolved.
They're trying to make up for that loss by being
authoritarian
in people's lives that people don't want anymore, because they don't need to fill that role anymore, because they never needed to fill that role. They just usurped it and utilized power that they had no right to for thousands of years to have control over.
People are filling the rod-shaped holes with donuts now, because donuts are, or cronuts, even better. But you're right, both Jasmine and Matt, like Emily, you were wrong, but...
And Nick, you're just still waffling her on because you're
I didn't
high.
Hear a single thing you said. What was the question? Jasmine and Matt, you're totally right. Like, before the internet, you know, you kind of fell in with the Hitchens brothers that you were born into. Like, we had Peter Hitchens or Christopher Hitchens. You just, like, if you were Christian, you were with Peter. And now you Google Hitchens, and all of a sudden it's only Christopher that comes up. So you're basically defaulting to the better position.
Yeah. And I am very fascinated with the tenacity of religion. I find it absolutely amazing how it manages to stay as intact as it has. I mean, obviously in certain parts of the world where there's still a technological issues that stop a country from advancing. But in the Western world where we have all these resources to use, it amazes me that the church can distance itself from things like standing against interracial marriage. And I'm sure, in years down the track, I'm sure that the line is going to be, I'm sure Christians will forget that they ever stood against gay marriage. They're going to do.
There's so many that forget that they stood against interracial marriage.
Yeah,
exactly. You still see people who are throwbacks to that earlier thing. Like, this is a legit thing that happened. Sandy in Alabama, friend of the show, girlfriend of Nick Morganmore, recorded talking to a street preacher who was in town to protest abortion, and he had a truck that said, homo sex is sin, and when she went over to talk to him, he said, black people aren't really people. Like, that is a trifecta of bigotry Ford pickup truck.
If he just dropped the last bit.
Yeah.
If he just dropped the last bit, he would have a cathedral.
But he's so clear. Like, it's so clear that he's like, these things are going to be remembered as that thing. And he's all three, man.
Isn't he sort of, like, within the Christian context?
He's the best.
What? Yes. He follows, and he's
you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and being consistent with their doctrine. He's the one who didn't falter when they said black people aren't really people.
It makes me annoyed. I think I said this on the show before. It makes me really annoyed when Christians get to step away from that and say, "Well, we don't believe that."
We fought for slavery and get rights for black people.
But this is the issue with bigotry, is that there are a lot of nice Christians and a lot of nice Mormons in the world. And so you're asking, why does it not just die out? I think there's bigots, and then there are Christians, and there are bigots, and there are Mormons, less bigoted Mormons that I've come across. But yeah, it's this thing where I know some really lovely people that still have these values. And people then associate the Christianity with being lovely people. And that's the thing, is it is a personal development, spiritual development pathway to a higher understanding of how the universe works. But it's separate from all of the crap and the lack of truth and the misinformation that is the Bible.
I would be fine if that's all that it was. If all that it was an excuse to get together with your friends and drink tea and be nice people, that's fine. But the fact that then they go out
and drink tea because tea has caffeine
in it. But the fact that they can go out to promote and fight against things like marriage equality.
Hey,
and
they baptize the dead. They give dead people planets.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Like,
does it bother anyone else?
They're not harmless.
I'm
untruths.
Really trying hard to set up a segue here for Emily.
They're not harmless untruths, is what I'm saying.
But does it bother anyone else that there's just, it's not true? Like, I mean, obviously, it does.
Well, it does bother me that
they're nice people in this group that believe something that's not an accurate way that it's explaining how they
consistent with reality.
I'll tell you what, put a pause on that thought, Matt, because Emily does actually have a great article to bring to us this week.
Awesome.
Emily.
Yeah. So, to Mormonism and the stone that translated the Book of Mormon, the Guardian recently reported on that they've released pictures. So, normally it takes celebrities at least a couple of months to release pictures of their babies. The Mormons have released a stone that was responsible for the translation from ancient Egyptian. Not only can this stone read, it can translate from ancient hieroglyphic Egyptian or something in that art, which wasn't quite Hebrew, but wasn't quite Egyptian. It was kind of a mishmash in between.
I really want to make a joke about having hallucinations while trying to pass stones myself, but I've decided not to.
I want to make a joke about it being a hard little turd.
Well, that's funny. But, so the internet's gone crazy about the stoners that are the Mormons. And it's basically this whole I guess Mormonism and the Church of the Latter-day Saints have decided that in order to retain their following in the age of the internet, they need to be truthful with their people and release pictures for those who don't like to read of this great stone. And the interesting thing is that to capture this demographic, they feel like that's being honest, releasing pictures of the stone that's not ready. But that's the big issue that's hitting the field. I mean, I feel like it's great to see their rock collection, but I mean, I'm not convinced.
Well, that's actually a really good point there, Emily, because I was a nerd as a kid, okay, and I had a rather robust stone collection and rock collection. And I can remember bringing over my next-door neighbour, whose name was Allison, can't remember her surname, and I said, do you want to come over and see my rock collection? And I was so proud. And, like, I totally thought that she would want to be my girlfriend after seeing that rock collection, and she didn't.
Maybe she would have been more amicable if your rocks had have given her the meaning of life, or...
That's true.
Yeah, translated in half.
Hey,
yeah.
Is this the same stone that they used to translate the Book of Abraham? Because that is wrong.
Yeah.
This is Lisa Simpson's rock that keeps tired
of the way, yeah. I would like to purchase your rock.
So I'll give you a really quick little thing. So the seer stones are a biblical thing. They're part of the Jewish and then obviously this tradition, where basically you use the sun to look through. You know, in the same way that when you hold a piece of paper up to a light, you're able to see through the piece of paper. Well, supposedly seer stones, you would hold the sun over your shoulder and you would hold up the stone and it would project something onto whatever you were looking at. So the seer stones allowed you to see what wasn't already there. So that's the lore behind it. Lore being L-O-R-E. Exactly. Exactly.
I liked it when that Egyptian guy, and I'm very sorry I've forgotten his name. The other Egyptian guy. He put a dip in the ground and he used it to measure the circumference of the earth.
Mm. Oh, that was Pythagoras. Mm. You douche.
Yeah, and he wasn't a douche.
I'm sure that wasn't Pythagoras.
He was Greek. Yes, Pythagoras was the one that figured out the distance. Yes, okay, it was.
Pi.
It was like
the radius.
Not Hippocrates, because that was a Hippocratic oath. No, he was Greek, right? I'm sure it was someone else.
You're confusing your philosophers.
You got your mathematicians and your philosophers confused.
But, I'm not a knowledge.
Yeah. I think it might have been Aristophanes or something.
Aristophanes?
Yeah, something like that.
That
sounds like
someone
like
that. Or Mephistopheles.
The devil.
It was definitely
Mephistopheles.
Yeah, the devil that makes you stress.
Oh, yeah. Mephisto? No. Mephistopheles. So the story that Nick alluded to was following, like, later on in the church, while Joseph was, sort of well into the development of the church,
many years after he'd first been arrested as a con man, passing off the religion.
Well after that. So he's established the church, basically, and his claim was that the Book of Mormon had been written in what he called High Egyptian, which is slightly ironic. Mm. And so this piece of papyrus came into the US, and it had a whole bunch of Egyptian hieroglyphics on it and some script. And Joseph Smith told his congregation, bros, I've totally got to get this thing. Can you please get together some coin because we're going to buy this thing? And he got a whole bunch of cash together and he bought this thing called what he called the Book of Abraham. Now, what he didn't know, unfortunately, when translating this thing and creating a book out of it, which was published several times, and exists to today was that the Egyptian hieroglyphics are not phonetic. So in the same way that the letter A makes the sound A, the letter B makes the sound B, the Egyptian alphabet works completely different. It's like words, basically terms, etc., or entire sentences for a single hieroglyphic. So he translated this entire papyrus, or papyri, and wrote it down in a book, again, which exists today, and was completely wrong.
I hope it's a real translation, like Harry Potter and the Flying Little Nile. And...
Where do you think that idea came from, Matt?
J.K. Rowling in a coffee shop with a deer stone.
It's the greatest story ever. But yeah,
what I also enjoy is how then some people take it that step further to say that Native American Indians descended from ancient Jews that then traversed across to the Americas. And
That's why they got lost for 40 years.
Yeah, they were walking to America from the Middle East.
Yeah, but he was told all of this by an angel named Moroni.
Yeah, can I just tell you?
Right, that's true.
So I told you earlier, guys, that I have great fun chatting with my my local Mormons, right? And so I, you know, being as tactful as I possibly could, I said, you know, they refer to you guys as Mormons, right? Because of the angel that came down to speak to Joseph Smith. Well, I need to know. The angel's name was Moroni, and they've somehow added an extra M in there. Why aren't you guys known as morons after Moroni? And they did not have an answer.
Still thinking about it.
I'm sure I'll see them in a couple of weeks. We came up with an answer.
And this now applies to all Mormons everywhere.
Yeah.
Is that same High Egyptian hieroglyphic writing the same that the Raelians used to convince themselves that aliens crafted the earth?
No, so that was because the angel / alien Rael came to meet some guys who were high out in the desert after drinking a whole bunch of peyote tea.
But you know what he said when he arrived?
No.
At least my name's not Moroni.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Real.
My cooler. They call me Real Gun back on my planet.
Yeah. No.
I didn't cut you off, but that was
I don't remember what I was saying now.
That was John Coyote.
Oh yeah, so well they got super high out in the desert one day and ran into this UFO that was piloted by an alien apparently / angel by the name of Rael, and Rael brought the secret of the creation of both the planet and humanity, which was a privileged type thing. So basically, intelligent design is real according to them. Pretty ridiculous. But I don't remember them saying anything about Egyptian hieroglyphics.
No, okay. I just
remember them being...
I've lost it again.
Mm-hmm. But I would say the Raelians are great for that topless thing that they do every year, for women.
Stripping.
Yeah, but it's women going topless.
Go to a strip club. It's all women here.
The message that the Raelians have is basically it's no issue for a man to walk around without his top, but... for some reason, there's an issue with women walking around. Well, let's turn it around at least for one day.
I saw a group of biker women that were into that sort of thing. I like them better.
Biker women?
Yeah, no, they were doing like a
Free the bird?
They were trying to attach it to a freedom of speech issue. And more power to them. But,
it is a freedom of speech issue.
Yeah. But it didn't have aliens involved. E.T. was a much simpler story.
Yeah, he was trying to phone home.
Trying to get home, guys.
Yeah.
The way that fails is like, oh, damn, you caught me. I've got to tell you everything now.
I love it. All right, let's move on to the next article with Matt.
Yes, yes. Well, I got a link, and it had a few little articles on it, but the one that was in the HTTP colon / thing was that called Obama to Splash Third of Power Plant CO2.
And go-to, if you will.
Go-to.
No,
I'm your go-to guy, just for that. On Monday, he promised to slash carbon emissions by 32% by 2030, which is when the 12th Star Wars film will be released. The EPA will give credit for solar or wind-powered breakthroughs before 2023 to companies that can innovate in this field. And Barack Obama's official statement on the issue was that... Nick, can you do a good Barack Obama impersonation?
Oh, I'm not sure that it's my place exactly in this situation to do a Barack Obama impersonation.
Okay, imagine I'm doing that impersonation while I read this. Humans are changing the planet in dangerous ways.
Well, you see, humans are endangering the planet in many ways.
I feel like a speechwriter.
Is he going to say what he says? I feel like a speechwriter. Yeah. It's a good way for me to look at expanding my horizons once my current job ends. The end is in sight, ladies and gentlemen. I could run for a third term. I believe that I would indeed have the numbers, but you know what's done is done, and it's not my place to change the Constitution and allow a third term.
Can I say something about drone killings?
You gotta understand that the future of war, we're trying to take out the human error of attacking people who are attacking our values.
Now say something about soldiers replacing their guns with wizard wands.
Guns can misfire, you see. If you're using a wizard's wand, you have to hit the right invocation in order to have the correct effect of the magic that you are utilizing.
Now say something about the Chinese not using performance-enhancing drugs and instead just making everybody else using performance-reducing drugs.
The Chinese are our allies, and I will not speak out against the people who are currently holding the money bags, metaphorically and literally bags that have dollar signs on them that have all of the debt.
Now say something about Tony Abbott actually being a good guy.
There are some things that even a president... and I think we found the line.
That was a pretty good bit.
Was that okay?
Yeah, that was,
okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. Good. Oh, good. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised that I pulled that off. Anyway,
can you please say that Matthew Lind is an outstanding...
Matthew Lind is a treasure to our nation.
has always been on the right side of history.
Awesome.
You can't say that.
All of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to say that levels of carbon dioxide, which heats up... I'm not doing the impression. I've been getting progressively drunker as this goes on.
No, you're going to be able to take that, Darwin. Take that, Darwin, if you're listening. Come on and don't be drunk next time.
As they have been in 800,000 years, which is when the 12th Star Wars film will be set. which
it was set a long time ago. I'm sorry. As a nerd, I need to interject and just point out that, yeah, it was set a long, long time ago.
In the galaxy, pretty far away.
I don't care that, like, it looks futuristic. I just need to point out that it was a long time ago. I know that that's number 12, which is, like, lots more movies,
guys,
right? But it's not going to cover millions of years in order to get into
when
the future.
When you think of Tatooine with its binary star system, now think of the Earth and how desert-like it looked like, transposed Earth onto there. That's what it's going to look like in 10 years because of global warming.
Look,
guys.
I just think that maybe like Star Trek was shot on like a sound studio and it's not actually a documentary at all.
But the flag was waving.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's, you can't get flags waving on
like
the moon.
How many planets are you expecting people to be on that have Earth gravity
norms? Also, 9/11 was an inside job.
Well, in that there was a plane already inside the building.
Really?
Yeah,
well, how else? I mean, jet fuel doesn't burn iron.
Look, look, look.
Aluminium does.
When you're in a plane, you have to go in, like, one way, like, straight ahead and stuff.
Yeah.
There's 360 degrees. What are the chances that they could actually hit a building with a plane? One in 360.
You're starting to sound rather convincing.
That's even worse than that, because there's 360 around, there's 360 up and down, then there's roll pits and yaw. Makes it even more difficult to hit a building.
Yeah, unless, like, you're an experienced pilot.
Listen, I have a certain job to do, and it doesn't matter whether blown around by a drone or by a good American pilot. I'm ensuring jobs that will ultimately be sustainable for the future. And
speaking of sustainability, actually, Matt.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to clarify that I wasn't talking about 800,000 years in the future of the Star Wars, 800,000 years back, which I know is not far enough. It was a joke, Nick. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Are we cool?
I accept your apology.
Okay, we're cool. You're not going to take back the history thing you didn't say?
No.
Ah, cool. My pressing question coming from all this is, what did we all think of the Simpsons movie where the EPA were the villains?
Mm-hmm.
And they took Albert... When Albert Brooks was announced for that movie, I thought, oh, they're going to bring back a tank Scorpio.
Mm.
And then they made him this guy that worked for the protection, environmental
game. It would have been so good if it was a Scorpio. Was like the
It would have been one of the most cinematic plots they ever came up with for that. But,
And it was fun. And I also want to live in that town, wherever it was.
The Matrix checks. They're in the Matrix.
Somewhere in an American coast in Midland.
The town that they went to was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, the Scorpio town.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best episodes.
Where do I get a hammock? Oh, it's in the hammock district? Oh, by the, in the hammock.
Would you hang my jacket in the corner? Like,
the best thing is that is boring. Like,
there are no corners here. In fact, I didn't even hang your jacket.
Do you have any sugar?
Yeah, sure.
Want some green?
No. Anyway, finish the story.
Sadly, that was where I was kind of going to end it. I was going to open it up into a discussion about how this basically, I mean, I think if you monitor Australia's plans for carbon emission decrease over the next couple of years, I think we're technically the great Satan.
Let me be clear. If I could veto your decision to go backwards on climate change and green energy, I would, but I'm not the president of the world, much less of Australia, which is entirely made of snakes. Well, you're on your own.
You know, firstly, that was pretty good. Secondly, congratulations. You found a new character.
Yeah. I can actually do an Obama.
When his turn ends...
I'm just amazed that I can do it, okay, guys?
When his turn ends, he should be on Good Advice.
He will be.
I think we just discovered something.
Yeah, we did. Look, I want to say something about this. This puts a tremendous amount of pressure on Australia to... start doing their part. Like the last little while of commentary from Australia's Prime Minister Tony Abbott has been things to the order of or in the direction of, well, you know, the other guys aren't doing a lot about it, and if they don't do anything about it, then we shouldn't do anything about it. Because if we do something about it and they're not doing something about it, then we're basically trendsetting. And Australia's not the country for setting trends.
Mm.
Like, we basically dress like all of the people from Hawaii, okay? We're basically all wearing khaki shorts and Hawaiian shirts. That's Australia, guys. We don't do things... Like, we are not mavericks, okay? We are not people who go out on their own.
Mm.
We are people who wear the same clothes and the same... You know, we drink the same drinks.
We do try to ban the burqa.
But France did it first. You know, we did it immediately after they did it. So, and we don't even go through with it. That's how much of a coward we are. So basically,
ironic that this is the one that we surrendered on.
Yeah, so,
and we tried cheating on our wives once, but we weren't as good as the French at it.
No. No.
Michaela found out and punched me in the face. Punched me in both eyes. It's well known for having the most poisonous snakes, spiders, and women.
I like that character too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, this is another argument for us needing to do something about it because, frankly, we are way behind.
The rest of the world is so far in front of us. Like,
it's this and it's
also things like, you know, marriage equality. You know, if you see the attack ads going on, I'm only bringing this up because we're currently, like, in a race to be, like, we're not going to be the last in the world because the Middle East exists. But we're like on social issues like climate change and marriage equality and all of these things, human rights, we're racing to be the last Western country to adopt these things that are foregone for the rest of the world.
But I think the other thing you guys have to keep in mind is Obama's saying this and he's putting in these new regulations. Yeah. The next person who comes in is probably going to go and turn around and undo everything.
We're simpatico.
I just have to be clear that if Bernie Sanders gets the nomination,
they'll double it.
He will indeed fill the office with hookers and blow. That man is a party animal, and I really hope that he gets the White House so that another old White House can be truly well. Another old white man needs to fill the role. Trump was correct. The American people will never vote for a minority or a black person.
That's funny.
They've had enough of me. It's obvious from my ludicrously high approval ratings that I was a failure as a president and.
The healthcare stuff.
All of the ways that I attempted to leave the country better off than when I found it have ultimately just gone to show that, I was president.
Yeah. Hussein Obama, right? So...
Praise Allah.
Look, I think you're right, Jasmine. If a Republican, especially a Republican governor like Chris Christie... Or what's his name? Scott. Can't remember it. Anyway, Wisconsin. Anyway, so if one of the governors gets in, Bobby Jindal, Jesus Christ, what's his name? Former
Jeb Bush.
The
Huckabee.
What's his name? From former Texas governor.
Rick Perry.
So, look, if any of those guys get in, you can kiss bye to these regulations and the deal with, probably also Trump. And you can kiss goodbye to any deals that have been made with Iran and pretty much any of the Middle East except for Israel. But if another Democrat gets in, they're going to be solidified because it's going to be the new minimum standard.
Mm.
And that's what I'm hoping for.
So the best that Australia can hope for is what you're saying, is if a Republican gets in. That's the
so that we don't look quite as shit.
So that you
comparison.
Don't look as terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind us being the butt of the international, you know, the Western joke, basically. I don't mind us being that because it ultimately puts the people who put us there in the spotlight.
Mm.
We didn't get to this point. We didn't get to this stage by action. We got, well, actually, we kind of did, I suppose, because we had an ETS.
Mm.
You know, by this time now, we would have an ETS. We would be trading on carbon credits.
Mm-hmm.
We would have a floating price, and we would be trading on carbon credits. And it wouldn't be a tax anymore. Mm. It wouldn't be a carbon tax.
Because we'd be in credit.
Exactly. So, but, I mean, basically, if we have to be the butt of Australia, of the world's joke, or of the Western world of the developed economy, then that's okay because it puts Mr. Abbott at the right at the forefront of that joke. But in saying that, Stephen Harper, our good pal from Canada,
that's right. If someone truly horrible gets in the States, they've got like just the trifecta of dear God help us all. Like, it's just going to be so bad. Because Stephen Harper, well, we have a hope that Stephen Harper will be voted out in October. But
no, that's not going to happen. No. It's not going to happen. Well, either he won't be voted out or he'll be replaced by another.
By someone
Stephen
else,
Harper.
Exactly. Mm. Well, I mean, Justin Trudeau is running. He's the only other person who has a hope. And he's only running on the fact that his dad used to be a prime minister. And he doesn't really have any, I mean, he's a television presenter. He doesn't really have any politics background.
Right.
He does have great hair and he's pretty hot. But it doesn't mean that
that's
he could make...
That's all okay.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, JFK.
Look, if it worked for Barack Hussein Obamacare, it can work for...
it can work for Trudeau.
Work for Trudeau. Yeah.
Oh, we can only hope.
Yeah, I can. well, let's move on to what I'm going to call the final article of the week with yours, Jasmine.
Oh. Okay, my article is from Time Magazine, and it discusses halal. And that is halal meat healthier than conventional meat? That is the question of the day.
How do you like
and
your cortisol in your flank?
That's right. So it's basically saying that Denmark announced last year that it would ban halal and kosher slaughtering practices. It's reared and slaughtered differently than conventional meat, but is it healthier? That's the question. Then it goes into talking about No. It's basically the end of that article. It says, look, there's a different way of doing it, but that don't make it more nutritionally sound. It just means that they kill it differently. And basically a priest comes and says a bunch of crap, and they say they basically kill it exactly the same, you know? To an extent. Chickens in Australia are killed exactly the same, no matter what. However, beef is not allowed to be stunned.
That's correct.
Before it is killed. So that's the only difference that really matters in the because they're saying no antibiotics, no. But that's in the last few months of its life. It's a little bit unclear as to the rest of its life. And they're talking about how like the technical terms of it are that this animal is supposed to have a really nice life. And then you kill it without any sort of fear or, abuse.
Yeah.
But really, not really what they're doing.
Well,
to make
look,
halal right
this,
now.
It smacks to me as like a bit of desperation, them saying, well, you know, like, why don't you look at the nutritional content? Because it's got to be totes healthier because, you know, we're doing all this stuff.
Absolutely, and Jake, you would know with the celiac stuff, right? It smacks me the same thing as gluten-free. This idea that, well, we've got to make it healthy because we want more of a market share. We're making money off of halal right now, and we want more people to have halal, but we can't just go, well, we'll just count on the Muslims, you know? We want everybody to want halal, and how do we do that? We start a buzzword saying,
it's
more nutritionally healthy.
Yeah.
And
it's like organic food. It's totally more nutritional.
Yeah, it's just way more nutritional.
Please don't conflate gluten-free, please, because I'm doing my darndest to get people onto gluten-free food so that I can make my shit cheaper. Because if you've ever tried to buy yourself a cake mix and like you want gluten-free, it's like $8 for a good one.
No, I know, and it is beneficial to us to a certain degree, but at the same time, like, then there are people flooding the market with crap that isn't actually gluten-free. Or people aren't taking it seriously because they think that you just saw it on Oprah.
You know,
I'm just
going to
be gluten-free because I saw it on Oprah.
You could just be a vegan.
That's
be,
true.
You want to be a vegan, Jake?
No.
Can we be vegan?
Mm. Oh, dude, I ordered bugs this week.
Good.
So we're going to eat bugs on the podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're going to do it on the show.
Yeah. I love doing that. I did it with Lee on her show.
Edibledbugshop.com.au. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's happening.
I've got to tell her.
Yeah, please. So let me tell you, Jasmine, what you can do, actually, is if you ever go into a restaurant, instead of saying that I have celiac disease, all you need to do is say I have a severe allergy.
Yes, and that's what I do, too. Yeah, I have a severe allergy to gluten. I often say it's not just because I saw Oprah. It's, like, for real.
It's because a endoscopist went inside my bottom, took out some tissue, and looked at cross sections of it, and actually found that I have a legitimate disease called celiac.
Exactly. It's like saying,
do you guys
want to
be mopping up the blood from your bathroom floor? Is that what you guys are interested in?
Man,
no.
I hope Oprah doesn't go and make a statement like, basically using the same excuse you did. I didn't just see it on Oprah, because then people are going to think the I didn't just see it on Oprah excuse came from Oprah.
That was it.
No,
yeah,
you were talking about Halal. Jesus Christ, we got on to something.
How long is this episode?
Yeah.
It just says that it can never contain pork or pork products. That includes gelatin and shortenings or any alcohol. I don't know who is giving alcohol to the beef, but apparently that's a problem enough that they have to say something.
Do they?
Yeah, during the surprise party that we host for them that comes.
And that, my dear friends, my dear skeptically inclined side loving ninjas, is all that we have for you for this, the 278th Imaginary Friend Show Dope Code Podcast. The one true podcast on science, skepticism, religion, politics, and I've already said that. I've been Jake Barwaters, and joining us this week was Nick Morganmore. Thank you, dear Nick.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Indeed. And Nick, how can people find out more about you? Because you'll never be on the
show. They can dig up my mutilated corpse out of Jake Barwaters' backyard. He'll get around to burying me after he finishes the 1,000 hours of editing that he has to do on these two podcasts. I sincerely apologize for that amount of work that I've given you, but also implore you to leave it all in. Also, listeners, you can find me on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter, all at Nick Morganmore. So give me a like, give me a subscribe, give me an everything, and also, that's my name. And, and also listen to my new podcast, Good Advice.
Yeah.
And like our Facebook page, Good Advice.
And iTunes, leave a review. Yeah.
Review and share. If you guys, please share. Like,
yeah, please
share out.
Share out.
Click it out.
Just send it out.
That's like the best thing you can do for us.
The best things you can do for us.
Listen. The best thing that
you
could
do,
literally right now, is open your browser, go to Facebook.com,
delete your history search,
look for Good Advice, and share our podcast.
Disseminate.
It'll
all over the place.
Your nation will thank you.
Yeah. And also with us this week was Jasmine Fairburn.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
No, thank you for tolerating Nick. And Jasmine, tell us, how can people find out more about you?
Well, you can come to a show I'm doing called Why Wouldn't You, which is a fundraiser for asylum seekers. It is $10. It's on August 26th. It starts at 6:30. We've got comics. We've got bands. We've got a great MC. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Loved it. I may actually remove what you said. I mean, well, copy and paste basically this one into the last one.
Yeah, into the other one. Yeah,
more succinct. Perfect. And also, I wasn't denigrating the fact that, you know, there was musicians there that I'd never heard of. And, pretty important.
Especially since they're Brisbane locals. They'll track you down
especially,
and play for you. And I was like, do you like this song yet? And you'll be like, no. And they're like, support live music in the industry. And you're like, have $10 and leave my bedroom.
But, yeah, anyway.
Matt Lind, if you don't have anything to plug, could you plug my friend show for me?
Well, I was actually going to say, share good advice.
Well, hang on, let me address you first. And also with us this week was Emily McCool. And Emily...
I'm such a good listener. I'm so good. I'm just eating snacks.
I know, I'm a good listener in that I could hear you eating the snacks.
Sorry. I'm enjoying myself here. I've got salami and halloumi and...
Oh my God, that sounds delicious. Now I want to eat
dinner time.
It is dinner time, actually. It's well past that. It's past bedtime for me.
Yeah.
This old crotchety man. And,
sorry about the snacks. Please don't take away a point.
No.
You need those.
Yeah, you do. That's true. Emily, how can people find out more about you?
People can look through my bedroom window as per usual. They can find me on Tinder, and they can also find me on my Facebook page, The Secret Diary of Emily McCool.
Already gave it a like.
I felt that like. I feel the like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up.
Don't like it.
Love you guys. It's awesome. Thanks.
Thanks, bro. And then finally with us this week was Matt Lind. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for having me again. It's good to be back. It's always such a blast.
I always love hearing from you, ladies. and Matt, tell us.
You have the best laugh, Matt.
It's true.
I have a variety of laughs. I had this one that I actually named. You think your friends would name it for you, but I named it the Pteromactyl. And I find it something so darkly hilarious that I end up just, I can't do it unless I'm doing it. But I sort of...
I've heard you do that. Yeah.
It's a Pteromactyl. But, hey, my name's Matthew Lind. Two T's. L-I-N-D. Like the chocolate without the tea. I just say that's a aphrodisiac.
Oh.
This is all your best comedy.
Yeah. And you didn't see me. So you go see for Richer or Mora, which is Richie Goodacre and another guy's festival show coming up. I do not know the date. Slip it in, Nick.
It's the 23rd and the 30th. It's the two Sundays.
Slip it in, Nick.
Yeah.
Because
I haven't spoken enough on this episode. it's the 23rd and the 30th of this month. Me and Richie at the Milk Bar in Brisbane. You can find tickets on stickytickets.com.au. Search for Richer or Mora.
Nice. And Weird and Beard are on after that.
They're on before us both nights. Double billing, $20 to see both of our shows. It kicks off from 7:30 with Weird and Beard, and then, or 7 with Weird and Beard, and then we're on at 8:30 with For Richer or Mora, where I'll be marrying Richie Goodacre, a friend of the show.
Nice one.
I'm going to be there, so you can say hi to me there. Look at me on Facebook or on Twitter. I don't go on Twitter much. I think I actually lost followers after meandering on this podcast. Check out Friends of Atticus. And if you ever hear of something called Mulligan's Medicine, watch it, because nice. I will be in it in the first episode. And thank you again for having me. I've had such a great time.
Fantastic. Well, listeners, until next week, speak. Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Godspeed. Godspeed, baby.